Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Today's Thursday, July the 31st, 2025. So, say goodbye, July.
Mm-hmm.
And joining me in studio is Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Yeah, I'm not going to miss it.
Well, you've got August to look forward to here, Fred, in the sunny south.
But we're going to save a Ray in just a second. I want to ask Ray the temperature in Kansas City this morning.
Okay, Ray Pritchard in Kansas City, Ray. What
right
is it?
Now, Fred, today, it's a balmy 72 degrees.
Amen.
It was 95 or something, 97 yesterday. We've dropped almost 30 degrees in the last 15 hours.
Why?
Thank you, Canada.
Tsunami?
Thank you, Canada. Thank you.
Thank you, Canada.
Canada. So,
oh, Canada.
Chris Woodward's in studio. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So I want to get this straight. So what you're saying, Fred, and I understand the sensitivity here because in the United States, we often blame our bitter cold weather in the winter thanks, Canada,
yes.
Right, for sending that Arctic blast down our way. So if we're going to do that, to be fair,
That's right. Give them credit.
Give them credit in the summer when Canada sends a cooler snap, I should say.
Yeah.
For a lot of the folks now, that never arrived here in Tupelo. I'll tell you that.
Not yet.
Is it going to?
We're going to get down, and if you live in the South, you're going to understand this. We're going to get down to a nice 85 degrees.
Oh man, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing right there.
And overnight, I think early next week, we're actually going to get down to about 69.
Yeah.
Overnight.
We'll have a tornado followed by a night storm.
That's Chris.
You're getting toward football weather here.
I'm not a pessimist or a realist. I just live in Mississippi, and that's how things roll.
Yeah. All right. So we hope that you're having a nice weather day. However you define that and wherever you are. I try not to complain about hot weather because, as folks know who listen to this show, I detest cold weather. Don't need to complain with us other way. So anyway, we'll see. Fall will be here before you know it. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio, as we said. Ray, haven't done this in a while with you, but give us a good word from the Bible, if you would.
Okay. How about some good news and some bad news, okay? From the same text of the Bible. Marlene and I have been doing our Bible listening, and we're near the end of 2 Kings. And if you know the Bible, 1st, 2 Kings, you get this, there's this king up north and king down south and king up north and king down south. It's really hard. It's really hard to keep keep the chronology of everything straight. And you get near the end of 2 Kings, and you run into a guy by the name of Hezekiah. He was the king in the south and a good king.
Yeah.
He was a really good king, loved the Lord, tried to follow the Lord, and it's great. And you read on. He died, and he's replaced by this fellow Manasseh, who was the worst king Judah ever had. It says he filled Jerusalem with blood. He might as well have been a Baal worshiper, but basically what he was, he offered his own son in the fire. He erected an Asherah pole. He led the people into unbelievable spiritual corruption. God says, he said to Judah, this is it. You followed this wicked king. Judgment is coming. And it's just, it's excoriating in how bad Manasseh was. So he dies, and his son Amon, A-M-O-N, replaces him for tears, and he was a no-goodnik either. He didn't follow the Lord. So he dies, and who shows up on the scene? Josiah. Josiah, the greatest king, the greatest king of Judah, the greatest king since King David. And let me just read this. Josiah was 8 years old, 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right or to the left. And there's this long description in 2 Kings 22 and 23. I mean, you talk about cleaning house, brother. He came in. Josiah, he came into an ugly mess, and he cleaned house, and God blessed the nation of Judah. And actually, they lasted longer than they would have because Josiah was the king. And you say, so what's the good news? The good news is that really immediately after the worst king, Manasseh, the wicked beyond belief, God raises up a little boy by the name of Josiah. He becomes king and God uses him. You know, at AFR, we talk a lot about turning the culture around. And sometimes it's, Fred, you read the headlines and sometimes it's easy to despair. Mm-hmm. But I read this story of the boy king whom God used. And no nation, no family, no church is ever beyond the grace of God. You're never beyond the reach of what God can do. So that's the really good news from this, that the darker the night, the brighter the light shines. So friends, don't stop working and praying for revival in your family, mm-hmm. in your church, in your home, and yes, across America. You say, well, what's the bad news? Well, just a sober warning. After all that Josiah did, he died. His son Jehoahaz, you think that Jehoahaz would have learned from his dad. Mm-hmm. He didn't. He did not walk in the way of the Lord. Just a reminder that the price of spiritual freedom and liberty and revival is eternal vigilance. Mm-hmm. Take nothing for granted. Just because one generation served the Lord doesn't mean the next one will. Each generation must follow and find the Lord on its own. So there it is, Tim.
Amen.
You got some good news and just something to think about from the closing chapters of 2 Kings.
Right. Correct me if I'm wrong. Later on in Scripture, does it mention something about Manasseh having a change of heart?
Yeah, it does. It does. That is so fascinating because Manasseh's repentance, first of all, you almost think that's impossible because, Fred, the list of sins this guy did, he was evil beyond belief. And the story of his repentance is not found in 2 Kings, but it is mentioned in 2 Chronicles. Mm. So should we expect to see Manasseh in heaven? Yes, because the story of his repentance is told. And yet, sin always brings consequences, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. The judgment still came. So I suppose that there's a double message here. One, it's never too late to turn to the Lord, but turning to the Lord doesn't mean you will escape all the consequences of the bad decisions you have made. There's so much to read from the Old Testament.
Amen. There is.
Well, you mentioned Josiah, King Josiah. And what you said was basically he had his own version of what we call the deep state.
he did.
That he had to deal with.
Yeah, it was really deep.
And clean out Josiah, King Josiah. You're reading from what book in the what?
2 Kings.
Okay, 2 Kings.
2 Kings. And Josiah, Tim, was 8 years old. How many eight-year-olds do you know are ready to become king of a nation?
He must have had some good advisors.
He had to have some good guys.
I'm 43 and don't want to do it.
Josiah, okay, 8 years old. All right, let's get started with the news of the day.
Yes,
people are familiar. Most people that are listening are familiar with what happened in Northwest Arkansas a few days ago.
Yep.
Chris, what was that story about?
Yeah, there was a married couple, and they were hiking with their children at Devil's Den State Park over the weekend. Devil's Den State Park is between Fayetteville and Fort Smith in Arkansas, and the couple was murdered in front of their children, and police searched high and low for the person responsible, and police think they have the person responsible now. That's the update. In a story you can find on our website, afn.net, Arkansas police charged a 28-year-old school teacher in the murder of that married couple who, again, were hiking with their kids at Devil's Den State Park. They found him in a nearby city after a 5-day search and public pleas for trail goers to look through their photos. I've got some audio here from a press conference announcing the arrest. Let's begin with Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who had this to say, clip 6.
If you commit a violent, senseless act, here in our state, our law enforcement will hunt you down and bring you to justice.
Now, Clinton David Brink, 43 years old, and Kristen Amanda Brink, 41, were found dead on that walking trail at Devil's Den. Their daughters are ages 7 and 9. They were not hurt. They're being cared for by family members. But, guys, it was weird Monday when we talked about this because we didn't have information on how exactly the couple died. We didn't have a lot of information on the case to begin with. And that's still the case today, even though police say they've made an arrest here. There are still a lot of details that have yet to be announced.
Okay, I was hoping they would have a press conference this morning, they being the police, law enforcement. Well, I'm watching one on the internet. But, huh?
We
is
may
that, is that live?
No. That we have a video on our website of this gentleman. He's a director of the state police.
Okay.
Just announcing
I'll
the
post
arrest.
The link for you.
Okay. Yep. So the suspect arrested James Andrew McGann, McGann of Springdale, Arkansas, was arrested Wednesday and charged with two counts of capital murder in the killings of 43-year-old. I'm repeating a lot of what Chris said. But Arkansas State Police announced a 43-year-old gentleman, Clinton David Brink, and his wife, 41-year-old Kristen Amanda Brink, they were fatally attacked while out hiking with their two daughters at Devil's Den State Park, July the 26th. Children ages 7 and 9 were not harmed in the incident. What everybody wants to know is, why did he do this?
Yeah, we know a little bit more about him, this 28-year-old Andrew
James. If he did it, I should say. He was arrested and charged, but until he's convicted, it's still what
he's
we call
the suspect.
Alleged.
Yes.
Yeah.
Andrew James McCann, very interesting. According to the AP, McCann was a teacher at a small Oklahoma school district until May this year. He then resigned to take a job in Arkansas. He was supposed to start teaching. The story also says, the reports on McCann say that, he underwent, to get the teaching job, he underwent a very extensive background check, and apparently everything cleared, which just adds to the mystery. There doesn't appear to be any record of committing any other crimes. And so everybody is kind of scratching their head as to why he would murder he allegedly murdered this couple, left the kids okay. He didn't touch the kids at all. So the question then becomes, did he know this couple from a prior relationship?
Right, that's what everybody wants to know.
You know, what is the motive
right
for this guy?
Did he use did he shoot him, or did he use a knife or a machete? How did he...
The assumption right now, I think, is a shooting, but we can't say that for sure.
Okay. Well, it needs to be recognized. The Arkansas State Police and the local law enforcement there, they found out who this was pretty quick.
You know, this is a very strange situation because that's a remote area.
Right.
And those trails, I mean, they're rough. You don't go there in high heels, right?
No.
You better have your hiking stuff on. You could fall this way, fall that way. Mm-hmm. There's not any – you get back on those trails, there's no cell service.
It's mountainous, too.
Yeah, it's mountainous. So what was that guy doing there? Did he just – was this just a crime of opportunity? And how did the kids escape? So there are a lot of questions we can't answer, but kudos to the – Park police, state police, local police, and to the FBI, they caught this guy so quickly.
Yeah, again, he is a suspect.
Yes.
And he's been charged, and so it's alleged that he did this. He'll have his day in court, as they say, but 28 years old. There was a picture released by the Arkansas State Police. I don't know when the picture was released, but it's a picture from behind of a person, and that was used to that picture was used as a, I guess, put out to the public as a picture of the potential suspect.
Yeah, the police had asked other people who were in the park at this time if they had photos that they were taking of the scenery or whatever the case, because sometimes photos catch other
yes,
things.
Yes, yes.
And I believe that photo that you're referring to was one of those photos. They also issued in the last 24 hours or 48 hours an artist sketch of what they thought, who they thought was the suspect. So obviously they talked to some people who were in the park at the time, and they told them, I saw a guy that looked like this. But it's very interesting. The suspect was picked up. He was sitting in a barber's chair. And that's where they arrested him late yesterday afternoon.
Yeah. Can you carry a gun in a state park? I bet you can in Arkansas. I asked this question the other day. Maybe nobody knows the answer to it.
Yes. According to the internet, yes and no. The Arkansas State Secretary of State's office says public display of firearms is prohibited. Concealed handguns are allowed in some areas but must be secure. That's from the Arkansas Secretary of State's office.
Well, okay, so you don't think about this happening, right? You don't think, you don't think you would be shot and killed by somebody on a state park hiking trail. I mean, has that ever even happened before? But I'm thinking you do want to take a weapon if you think, well, we might have a snake. Or you might have a
bear
or a mountain lion or whatever. I don't know. There's all kind of things that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That you need a gun for.
Yeah.
And so I would, but you know, people go out and they go, I would do the same thing. People going on we're going to go an hour to a trail here.
Yeah.
Nobody
mm-hmm.
thinks about, you know, somebody's going to be, lying in wait to kill me for what reason. So it will be interesting that I use this word. Two people are dead. Two, I don't mean this to sound like just a cold news story, that two people are dead and their two children are scarred for life.
Yeah.
Because they had to watch this. Yeah. I don't know how they escaped or came to, I don't know how it unfolded.
Yeah.
Post murder, but anyway.
Well, you talk about, you know, carrying a firearm to protect yourself, given the incident at the Michigan Walmart this week where the guy stabbed 11 people. I mean, you got people now that want to take a gun just to go buy some groceries.
Well, you know, can't blame people.
Yeah.
Can't blame people for wanting to carry a gun everywhere because, look, the dangers are everywhere.
Yes.
So, yeah. And the risk. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio, but we'll see what motive is discovered, if any.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, in another story on our website, a Delta Airlines flight from Salt Lake City to Amsterdam was hit by serious turbulence, sending 25 passengers to hospitals and forcing the flight to divert to Minneapolis, St. Paul International Airport. This was an Airbus A330-900. Fred knows more about that than I do.
I know a lot about those, too.
Yeah, it can seat over 250 people, and it landed around 7:45 last night. There is a quote in our story, and I'll share this on our Facebook page. One of the people on board the plane told ABC News, one passenger said people who weren't wearing seatbelts were thrown about the cabin. She said they hit the ceiling, and then they fell to the ground, and the carts also hit the ceiling and fell to the ground, and people were injured. It happened several times.
The carts?
So it was really
scary. Like the carts they rolled down the aisle?
Yes.
The food and beverage?
And if one of those things bumps your elbow, it hurts.
Those things weigh a lot.
Oh, yeah.
They would hit the ceiling.
Yeah.
Ray, have you ever been on a plane where they did? Usually pilots nowadays, they say.
Right. Secure everything.
Yeah, because we're going to run into some turbulence. But in this case, they didn't know about it. Didn't know it was going to hit, right?
Well, look, what kind of turbulence? One of those carts weighs a lot, right? For it to go, you're saying it went up, hit the ceiling of the aircraft, and then came back down.
Wonder if somebody wasn't killed, honestly.
Yeah. This was the authorities are saying what's called clear air turbulence. In other words, pilots, when they have weather in front of them, you know, big thunderclouds, they'll move around them. They'll fly around them. They'll get clearance from ATC, and they'll fly around them. But this particular aircraft took off from Salt Lake City heading to Amsterdam. Obviously, they are at a fairly high altitude at that point and in clear air. And what clear air turbulence basically...
You're saying clear air turbulence?
That is correct.
Okay.
All right. So there's no clouds. and no other pilots and other aircraft were reporting turbulence.
Gotcha.
All right. So the pilots looking out the front there, they're not seeing any weather in front of them, but they hit this what's called clear air turbulence. And basically it is huge winds from one direction hitting winds from another direction. And,
wow.
And there's really no way to tell that's coming. And that is why, you know, to defend the airlines here, they, and you just mentioned this, they say even when we get up to altitude and you can walk around to go to the bathroom or whatever the case may be, when you get to your seats, put your seatbelt back on, folks.
Yes.
This is the very reason they tell you to do that, because the pilot cannot always tell.
Right.
There's not technology that automatically tells them that this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So they ran into this last night.
So the plane landed in Minneapolis.
It did, yeah.
And how many people were?
25.
Hospitalized? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Next story, Chris.
Let's mention this.
Are we running out of stories?
No, we're not.
We got like 35 more minutes.
Keeping it with keeping it with crime and cultural issues. I'm trying to pick. I mean, it's a lot that we have to go by.
Pick something negative.
Okay. Okay. I can do that.
Let's do something different.
If it bleeds, it leads. Yeah. That's right. What they say in news, and that's what we need, Chris.
The man that conservatives and other critics are calling Mamdani the Commie. Is in the news.
We're not calling him that, are we?
No, we're not, but that's what people are calling him now. And it's based on his socialist or communist views.
Also rhymes. Pretty clever.
You can thank Clay Travis and Buck Sexton for that. But anyway, Zohran Mamdani is in the news because he has made comments in the past for defunding the police, and those things resurfaced this week based on the shooting that happened in Manhattan, which we discussed at length a couple of days ago when I was last on this program. Go to AFR.net for those podcasts. But I've got some sound here from Elise Stefanik, Representative Elise Stefanik, who may or may not be running for governor of New York at some point in the near future. She had this to say about Mamdani's past calls for defunding the police, which, by the way, he now says he doesn't agree with. Clip one.
New Yorkers are smart. They know that these policies are detrimental and only make New York more dangerous. And let's be honest, this is not just tweets. Zohran Mamdani is a seated elected official. Not only did he run for the New York State Assembly, but he has served and voted in the New York State Assembly to defund the police at every opportunity.
By the way, I heard a story on Fox yesterday that Mamdani was not even in the country at the time of the shooting. He was away on a vacation, like, abroad somewhere.
I think it's a honeymoon in Uganda.
Yeah. So the guy who doesn't believe in property rights and personal wealth.
It's a popular destination for honeymooners.
That's a sentence you don't hear. Honeymoon in Uganda.
Okay. Are you joking, Fred?
No. Okay. That's true.
All right. So listen, this guy's running for mayor of New York. He won the Democrat primary. He may be elected the next mayor of New York. We'll find out in the fall. He is has a long history. What is he? But he's only like 30s. What is he? How old is he?
He's mid 30s.
Okay, he has a long history of. He's far, far lefty. And defund the police, he cheered it on. He said that was because of the George Floyd incident. I don't care really why you say you did it. You did it. That sentiment was in you, and that's what he believes in. So he is pro. He's against. He's against the police and he's pro-criminal. How else can you put it? But you know what? If New Yorkers want to elect this guy, you knock yourself out because there'll be a lot of more people knocked out.
Yes,
in New York with no consequences. It's the only time I go to New York is to fly to Israel now.
Yeah,
but now I will say this: there are a lot of great things to see in New York City. But you just don't feel safe hardly.
That's right.
All.
That's right.
And you have people like this, and if he's going to defund the police even further, criminal activity will increase even more so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the billionaires and the millionaires, they'll get out.
They better.
Because they're going to be hit with taxes unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
If he alone can unilaterally do that. I don't know that he can do that as mayor.
And that's how he has said he will pay for all the free stuff is by taxing the wealthy.
Yeah. Well, so what's his name?
Zohran Mamdani.
Yeah, it's just not like a Marvel hero. He's 33 years old. Okay. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
This June 24th marks 3 years since Roe v. Wade was overturned. But here's what you may not know. Abortion numbers have surged to a 10-year high. The battleground has shifted from the courtroom to our homes. Today, over 60% of abortions happen through the abortion pill, taken in silence, often alone. Preborn network clinics are standing in the gap, meeting women in their most desperate hour. And here's what they're seeing. Young mothers, terrified and misled, are delivering their babies, tiny, perfectly formed, onto bathroom floors. These precious babies, once called just tissue, now lie lifeless. 11% of these women who take the abortion pill will suffer serious health complications. Countless others carry emotional scars for a lifetime. When you give to Preborn, you're not just saving a baby, you're saving a mother, too. You're giving her hope, financial support, and the truth. Preborn has already rescued over 350,000 babies, but there are so many more who need our help. Your tax-deductible gift makes this mission possible. To donate now, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Fred, Chris, and Ray. Somebody called us. We were talking about the Delta Airlines flight from Salt Lake City to Amsterdam, and it had to land in Minneapolis because of the turbulence that just shook the plane so bad that 30-something people had to go to the hospital with injuries, right? I'm reporting this,
people,
right?
Yeah.
Huh? 35 people.
Mm-hmm.
The plane had to land, and we speculated on
clear air turbulence.
Clear air turbulence, which is, you can't see it. That's the clear air. And the turbulence so bad that it caused. Well, somebody called in to say they've had this weather going on in the upper Midwest. What did you call it?
A derecho, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Are you aware of this, Ray? You heard of this?
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk here in Kansas City about the derecho, that long line of thunderstorms. And we were kind of here in KC, we were on the bottom of one just the other day. It was stretched up. I mean, the real action was up in Iowa. Yeah, but Tim, you don't want to be anywhere near a derecho because that's a strong line of thunderstorms.
Well, they're talking about the winds go up to hurricane.
Right, absolutely.
I mean.
Mm-hmm. And the line of storms can continue for 200 miles.
Okay. Okay, so it's extraordinarily severe,
yes.
I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
Derecho. And is that still going on, or is that over now? Do you know? I'm talking about not this minute, but I mean, sometimes these things happen day after day after day.
I think it's cleared out for the most part. It was about 2 days ago. I think Wisconsin was affected by this. You mentioned Iowa.
It says across northern plains and upper Midwest.
Yeah.
So north of you, Ray, was where most of it went, mm-hmm. like you were talking about.
Nasty.
Wow. I remember seeing a couple of years ago a picture of this, and you remember it was reported nationally how all the cornfields in Iowa and Minnesota, remember they were just like,
yep,
they're flattened.
Flattened.
Yep.
Not all the cornfields, but you know where this storm's hit, it just flattened them with 100 mile an hour winds.
Yep, that'll do it.
Incredible. Mother Nature, the power that these thunderstorms can cause. You know, these thunderstorms also, too, they can be beautiful from a distance.
Yeah, right.
I know I'm not the only one. A lot of people see this at night, but you can probably see it. I know where you live, Ray, because it's a lot flat, but you can see these thunderstorm heads because they reach 30,000 feet or higher, 40,000 feet, but you can see it lightning. Sometimes I'll see it, like last night I saw it, or two nights ago I saw it lightning. But it looked like it was coming to my house. It was like, looked like, well, that's 10 miles away. Then I go on the weather radar and I go, no, that's 75 miles away.
Yeah.
I was seeing, where I live, I was seeing lightning in Quad Cities of Alabama, which is like 75 miles away, because of the height of these thunderstorm heads in the summertime.
Yes.
In particular, it's... But it has its own beauty. Of course, it's very destructive if you're in the middle of it. But to see it from a distance is spectacular.
Yes,
to see that. You're listening to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ray, Chris, and what's your name?
Fred.
Yeah, Fred.
Nice to meet you.
Fred, sorry. I knew your name, but had a momentary lapse. Jenna Ellis joins us now. Jenna is host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning here on American Family Radio from 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time on AFR, and host of the podcast we call On Demand, found at AFR.net. Jenna hosts a weekly podcast called On Demand. You want to make sure you check that out on our AFR.net website. Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning, and I'm actually really excited about this week's episode because I have the opportunity to interview Abby Johnson, who everyone knows, a pro-life advocate, former Planned Parenthood worker,
yes.
And she has a new movie following Unplanned, which is her story. This is called Unthinkable, and interviews over a dozen former Planned Parenthood workers about the truth of abortion. And I know so many of our AFR listeners are really passionate about the issue of pro-life. So definitely tune in tomorrow when that drops each and every Friday. But tomorrow will be my interview with Abby Johnson for that new upcoming movie.
Okay. The Jenna's interview with Abby Johnson is called On Demand. So go to our AFR.net website, click on podcast, AFR.net, click on podcast. And then you can see Jenna's where to go there, that banner for On Demand with Jenna Ellis. Jenna, I know you grew up in Colorado. You grew up in the plains of Colorado. Can you see? So you grew up in eastern Colorado, right?
East of the Rockies, and so the Front Range, basically.
Can you see it from your house, the range?
The Rocky Mountains?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, maybe about 45 minutes into, you know, either Estes Park, which is some, or, you know, down maybe a couple hours into the mountains for, you know, a lot of the good skiing.
Reason I ask is I know that, you know, that's some spectacular views on weather right there, too, coming in.
Yeah, it's beautiful in Colorado. I mean, that's, you know, where we get Purple Mountain Majesty across the fruited plains, as the American song goes, as a reference to Colorado. So it is beautiful.
Amen. Jenna, I have a question for you, and I don't even like to bring this up anymore. I'm getting tired of it. I know most people listening are getting tired of it, but I'm just going to ask you, is this Jeffrey Epstein story ever going away? Can we move on? When will that happen?
Well, you know, I think there are a couple of different schools of thoughts here. I think everybody is really tired of it, but at the same time, it's just one symptom of, I think, the underlying reason that the story isn't going away, which is a transparency and also accountability, because the Trump's base, and that would include conservatives and Christians and, you know, everyone who wants to see transparency and accountability, not only in government, but also for bad actors overall. I mean, the reason that Trump won the 2016 election and has been so popular since 2015 is because he came in promising to drain the swamp, to say we are going to put stark sunlight and disinfectant on Washington, the elites, the establishment, this kind of shadow government that's been running everything. And I think that Epstein is sort of the pinnacle story of the frustration that voters are feeling, especially with this political resurgence of Trump and him going in saying, you know, I don't have another election, so I'm going to go in and basically disrupt Washington in a way I didn't the first term. And people are still waiting for it. So I don't think this is so much about just the Epstein story itself, but what that represents overall.
Yeah. Fred, anything to ask or say on this?
I think it's kind of interesting. We are getting more information as time goes on. I mean, the president offered reporters the other day, I don't like Epstein because he was stealing my employees at Mar-a-Lago. And so, you know.
That's why they had a falling out.
That's why they had a falling out. And then what do you say the other day that kind of caused some concern? I didn't have the privilege of going to the island. I mean,
he's just not helping himself. No. Like, at all.
I know. I mean, quit talking about it.
Yeah.
I'm going, like, quit talking about it. Just say
just
I refer you
subject.
To Pam Bondi.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I don't know. Trump can't help himself. Sometimes he gets his.
All the time.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. For better or for worse, he's going to let it fly.
Yeah.
And the other thing was the family of the young lady who committed suicide. What was her name?
Virginia Giffrey.
The one was at the center of it all. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They yesterday issued a statement, basically, I don't know if you could say calling out President Trump, but saying President Trump needs to expound on his comments because does he know more than he's saying about what happened to our daughter?
Yes.
That's basically what they're saying now. We'll see where that goes or how the White House responds to that if they do, because, you know, as we've said before, it's no secret President Trump and Jeffrey Epstein, like a lot of New Yorkers and celebrities in the 70s and 80s and 90s, they were all, you know, they hobnobbed and went to parties together. Doesn't mean they all knew what the other ones were doing, obviously, but still, you're known by the company you keep, for better or for worse, and Trump was pals with Jeffrey Epstein for a long time until they had this falling out. Mm-hmm. And then Trump was quoted in an Atlantic article as saying, well, the word is, I'm paraphrasing here, but the word is that Jeffrey likes young girls, which you go, when you read that, you're going, what do you mean young girls? Like underage? Like illegal? I mean, so evidently Trump knew about the rumor about his pal at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, any other way to read that? I'm not saying he was endorsing, but he must have heard about it. And anyway, and then Trump goes, well, he, Jeffrey Epstein, stole my employees, including this young lady who was 16 years old working at his spa at Mar-a-Lago.
Yep.
So who knows? Maybe that'll go away today or tomorrow or the next day. I don't know, but that's part of the story out there that I don't know if President Trump or the White House will respond further on it. All right, what was the lead story on your show this morning, Jenna?
Yeah, well, you know, and just to follow up on that, I mean, this is why the Bible gives great wisdom. That's, you know, in Proverbs, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm, and bad company corrupts good morals. We know that, you know, Psalms says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. I mean, over and over, the Bible repeatedly tells us that if we choose bad company, then that can ultimately harm us. And I think that's what, you know, Trump is maybe experiencing right now, and why we need to take the wise counsel of Scripture.
Yeah.
But moving forward, so the top story this morning. So actually, a couple of things. First, we talked with Ryan Helfenbein from Liberty University about this really just bizarre headline that a lawmaker, a city councilman in Virginia, was apparently set on fire yesterday. And it was, and as more reporting has come out on this, it wasn't so much because of his elected position, but just a personal altercation with a known acquaintance. And so we kind of unpacked that in the larger story of some really violent, bizarre headlines this week. And it just seems like our society is barreling further and further toward just utter destruction and a disregard for the sanctity of human life. And that actually led into the next story, which I spoke with Troy Miller, who's the president of the National Religious Broadcasters. And he was talking about a Barna survey that was saying that 60% of adults, not just Christians, 60% of adults tune in to some kind of Christian media content on a weekly basis. And the reason for that is because they feel encouraged and have hope. And I thought, you know, in the midst of all of these headlines, what a great encouragement to us here at AFR that, you know, we're reaching not only the Christian community that needs encouragement, the biblical worldview perspective in the midst of all of these headlines, but also to reach those who are trying to make sense of this, the secular world, and these two competing worldviews that clearly are on display from not only the leftists, but, you know, people who would go into a Midtown Manhattan building and, you know, and shoot people just for mental health issues. And, you know, how do we make sense of all of this?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Fred, did you have any more?
Well, I was going to get Jenna's reaction to the big announcement from Kamala Harris yesterday.
There was a big announcement?
Big announcement. What do you read? She says she's not going to run for governor of California. Some people say, well, she's reading the tea leaves. Nobody likes her anymore. Other people are saying, nah, want to leave the door open for another run for president.
Mm. Yeah, well, you know, I just said she's finally realizing that she's not popular, even in the state of California. It's only in the state of confusion that she's popular.
Oh, wow. But, that was uncalled for.
I mean, accurate, though, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, but uncalled for nonetheless.
So, you know, she's finally not, you know, trying to make that happen.
Yeah, her best political days are in the rearview mirror. Mm-hmm. I think she needs to go on to...
Are you talking about her best days?
Mm-hmm.
She can't do the speaking tour because it would just be, you know, the word salad tour.
How about a stand-up routine? She just mentioned
the word salad. Jenna did.
Yeah.
Do you remember the word salad?
Which word salad are we going to hear, Fred?
Cut number 12.
There are, you know, people of every age and gender, by the way, who see something about being the first that lets them know they don't need to be limited by other people's limited understanding of who can do what.
AI is kind of a fancy thing. It's, first of all, it's two letters. It means artificial intelligence. But ultimately what it is it's about machine learning. And so the machine is taught. You need to get to go. I need to be able to get where you need to go.
The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time.
Culture is, it is a reflection of our moment and our time.
Okay, all right, stop right there. I just want to say.
But wait, there's more. No.
Okay, that was some of the greatest hits there from...
But you know, we have been unburdened by what may have been.
Yes. Do you guys remember when she went to France and she tried to do like a French accent in front of the French people and she was like, Le plan.
That's from Love Island.
The little guy from Fantasy Island.
Fantasy Island.
Yeah. The plan.
Oh, my word. Okay.
All right. So, you know, the comic relief won't be there, but overall, maybe California is waking up to sanity after, you know, all
you
this.
Know, but I think she could maybe take Stephen Colbert's job. Yeah. You know, Colbert. I mean, he's going to be giving up his place at late night TV. Wouldn't that? I think Kamala Harris would rock as far as a stand-up comic, and then even if she didn't intend to be. And then have her own show. What do you think?
Could you imagine?
Ray, what do you think about Kamala Harris as a late night talk show for America?
I love it. I love it. Her opening monologue could be the whole show.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay, Jenna, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Okay,
all right,
bye-bye.
Take care.
That's Jenna Ellis joining. What about that, Fred? Yeah, am I onto something right there? CBS?
Here's the problem, though. Okay. The only people that would laugh at her is she laughs at herself. You know, the cackle?
Yeah, the cackle.
The cackle, the babble. There are other words that are used. Honestly, I don't think even Democrats want her back.
No, they don't.
They
want her to go away, like...
Stay out there in California.
She should join The View, right?
That would be, her and Whoopi Goldberg
going back and forth
on some issues. Yeah, I'm thinking. Okay, well, watch and see if Tim's prediction doesn't come true. She replaces Stephen Colbert on late night TV. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. If you want to check us out, we do a podcast here. Most all of our shows are podcasts, mm-hmm. meaning that after the show's over, you can go back and click on the banner and listen to the show or any shows we do here on American Family Radio. Our podcast numbers are really, really high. A lot of folks download the show, so go to AFR.net, American Family Radio. Click on the podcast for this show, Today's Issues, or any of the podcasts we have. What's the next story, Chris?
Well, I've got some audio here of a floor debate on the Senate.
A what now?
A floor debate. on the Senate.
I thought you said a Florida debate on the Senate. Sir. A floor debate on the Senate.
In the United States Senate,
we got a floor debate going on.
Yes, and there was a bill that involved efforts to defund Israel, because some people in Congress want to defund Israel, saying they're being unfair to people in Gaza. And here now is a montage of various senators, including independent Senator Bernie Sanders, and even we've got Republican Jim Risch and Dick Durbin of Illinois. Clip 10.
On this vote, the yeas are 24 and the nays are 73, and the motion is not agreed to.
U.S. taxpayers have spent many, many billions of dollars in support of the racist, extremist Netanyahu government. Enough is enough. Americans want this to end. They do not want to be complicit in an unfolding famine and daily civilian massacres.
Let's remember the conflict between Israel and Hamas, and the need for the military assistance for Israel is the fault of Hamas. They use the people of Gaza as human shields, and they steal the food that the people of Gaza need. It is despicable behavior.
For many of us who've stopped right there.
Do you know who that was?
That was Jim Risch of Idaho, Republican.
Yeah, Republican
senator. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, I missed this story. Ray, were you aware of this?
Only a little bit, but
are they having a vote?
It was a vote to whether or not we should proceed further with a defund Israel bill.
Yeah, it was specifically Bernie Sanders. This bill was to say we're not going to sell Israel any more weapons.
It failed miserably, right?
It did. However, the story goes on to say that a growing number of Democrats in particular say they no longer support Israel. They no longer support selling weapons to Israel. So it's all part of the campaign that's out there right now. You have countries that are saying we favor a Palestinian state. Unfortunately, my
that's
home country
stupid.
Of Canada last night.
That is
night.
Just utter and complete stupidity.
Yes, it
and
is.
You have leaders like the what's the guy leader of Great Britain saying this?
Yes, UK leader.
France.
Yes, and France. And the European Union.
European Union says it's two-state.
Canada, you know, there's a vote coming up in the United Nations in September, and these countries are all signaling we are going to support the idea of a separate Palestinian state. They say this will cure everything in the Middle East.
Oh gosh,
that's the claim.
Ray, why is that not true?
First of all, there is no Palestinian state to recognize.
That's right.
What are they going to do? Recognize Hamas,
right?
Which everybody knows is a terrorist organization. What are they going to do? Recognize the folks in the West Bank? No, I don't think they're going to do that.
They're Israeli citizens.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, so where is this so-called Palestinian state? I mean, Fred, what does it mean to Did you use the phrase going to endorse the idea of a Palestinian state?
Yeah, the United Nations can't declare a state. They can't create a state. But this is to add pressure too. We ought not to be surprised that the United Nations would go this route. But you know, as a lot of people have said, and we heard the other day from our ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, there can't be a separate Palestinian state because the people. Most of the people who live in the West Bank, and certainly those Hamas-run Gaza, they don't want two separate states. They want Israel wiped off the face of the earth.
Yeah. Also, to me, this is we have these people calling for a separate state, a two-state solution. That ship has sailed.
Yeah. Many times.
Yes, many times, and. Even President Bill Clinton, who I agree with him on this, he's come out and said this is not what when we negotiated with Yasser Arafat, we meaning the United States. Remember, we tried to broker that deal with Ehud Barak or whatever his name was, the Prime Minister at the time of Israel. And remember, they went to Camp David and Yasser Arafat, the leader of the PLO, and they talked and talked and talked. And Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton too both said that they don't want a two-state. They want Israel gone, wiped off the map. So I'm talking about Hamas, and then at that time the PLO. So they don't what I was going to say, this is complete and utter fantasy land that these foreign leaders say a two-state solution. If Scotland had invaded England and butchered 1,100 or 1,200 people, and then the world said, well, you need to form a separate state for the Scots, England, so that they have their own country.
Yeah.
So that they can then build up their weaponry and attack you again. England would say, that's nuts. We're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the same. So I'm using this analogy because it's the PM of Great Britain who's saying to Israel, you need to have a separate state for the murderers.
Yeah.
So they can attack you more. Or what is it? They're putting this ultimatum on Israel, Great Britain and France. And these are nations that are the friendliest of the Europeans to most of the time. I don't know how Italy feels or Germany or what they've said, but Israel is getting to where the only friend they have left in the world is the U.S.
Yes.
Canada
just announced yesterday that they favor a separate Palestinian state.
Yeah, it's easy to say when it's not on your border.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, exactly.
If the UN told the U.S. all the southwestern states have to go back to Mexico, we would tell UN where to go.
Right. Well, it's just Israel cannot allow a separate state run by Hamas on their border. That is a recipe for that's suicide. Yes, is what it is.
It is.
They've got to end Hamas right now at this moment in time, and I think that's what they are realizing they have to do. Yes. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.